It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC, airing in the New York, New Jersey metro area and worldwide at mybradio.com. And of course, on the 77 WABC app. Well, special thank you, as we've been doing for the last few months, to the great listeners of this program. Nielsen Ratings has us consistently in the top 10 in New York AM radio, and we thank you, the great listeners of this program. This show, Mind Your Business, on the legendary 77 WABC, is all about you. Every single week, we seek out and interview C-level executives and business leaders from all types of industries and ask them the questions that are on your mind. Gain business insights on so many professions and categories, including sales, social media, corporate culture, leadership, strategic planning, communications, financial planning, marketing and advertising, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you'll gain solid advice to get you ahead in today's business world. Special thank yous, as we do each week, to Pesach Trapper, the show's producer, and to the entire team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group, who plays such an important support role for the show. Cirilli, Rena, Miriam, Dina, Hoodie, thank you so much. And to the great folks at 77 WABC, Alex, Matt, Chris, Brian, Justin, thank you. Also, special mention to the various channels that Mind Your Business is syndicated on. Mishpocha Magazine, the monthly Take 5 column, they recently featured the interview that I had with Chris O'Neill, the CEO of Evernote. A very amazing interview that we had, and we're going to have a giveaway about an Evernote premium subscription for 3 months. That's going to be coming up later in the show. But the Mishpocha Magazine, all subscribers read it, receive it regularly. Otherwise, you can pick it up on your newsstand. The Take 5 column in Mishpocha Magazine. We're also on C-Suite Radio, C-Suite TV, Audio Boom, Player.fm, iTunes, and YouTube. We have a robust YouTube channel that features many of the guests, the amazing guests that we've had on this program, including tonight's unbelievable guest. Stay tuned, folks. This is going to be a real treat. And as you know, all episodes are available by going to mybradio.com. mybradio.com, that stands for Mind Your Business, naturally. mybradio.com. That's where you can get all the past guests. And just to list off a few, Chris McCann, the CEO of 1-800-Flowers, Joe Hart, president and CEO of Dale Carnegie, John Sculley, former CEO of Apple and Pepsi, Captain Sully Sullenberger, needs no introduction, James Rosebush, former senior advisor to Ronald Reagan, Jason Robinson, director of marketing at UPS, and the list goes on and on. Nearly 130 unique guests that we've had here on this program. They're all available. It's really a virtual college, if you will. Tremendous resources and information, mybradio.com, mybradio.com. Well, now going to tonight's guest. With me in studio is none other than a very good longtime friend, Bill O'Reilly, founding partner at the November team and a longtime star in the world of public relations. On tonight's edition, we are going to talk about the world of public relations and how it can benefit your company and also developing your company's narrative. With that intro, we give a very warm welcome, Bill O'Reilly.
Thank you, Yitzhak. And those
should
watching,
we open with a hug?
I think a hug. And those watching on YouTube will quickly realize that it's not the Bill O'Reilly from Fox News.
Right? It's now, by the way, he's known as the other Bill O'Reilly. That's how famous he is. In fact, I understand there was some story you showed up at an event and you sat in a seat and everyone was coming over to you. What happened?
Oh, I walked in and there should have been. It was about 15 years ago when he began to get hotter, 20 years ago. And I walked into an event and I was, emerging a little bit in the political world in a small way. And there should have been about, 22 people there. I was speaking at it. And there were about 220. And I thought, uh-oh, something's going on here. And then I noticed that people were surreptitiously putting the books that they had brought for signature.
Right.
Bill O'Reilly's books under their chairs to be polite afterwards. I've got to say, Yitzhak, I'm so pleased to be on the show.
Thank you.
I'm not only an avid listener, and literally the online is Business University by Yitzhak. It's just incredible. But I'm also a major fan of So What's the Bottom Line, your book.
Thank you.
And I suggest to all young people or people of all ages that are thinking of starting a business to get a copy. I've sent copies. It's available on Amazon, I'm sure, and it's probably still in bookstores. But so what's the bottom line? It's just a great primer, really readable, digestible. I've been through it 15 times to get little ideas when I'm trying to shake the cobweb loose. Yeah, it's terrific.
Very gracious. Thank you. And, of course, also thank you. The listeners know, and it may come up this year again, where sometimes Bill sits in for me when we have religious observance and I'm out.
People
it's very possible
it.
It's going to come up. So, no, what do you mean? That helps my ratings. Now, Bill, maybe we could open up, and I like opening this up with this question to stars. You had a great journey, nowhere near the end of it, but you know, what was your backstory? Were you dreaming about this when you were in high school?
I always loved the news when I was in high school. I was a little bit of a wild child as a kid.
Okay, but it's all coming out. You know, there are 50,000 listeners.
There are 50,000
you know?
Listeners. Yeah.
Right.
I think people that remember me as a child will vouch for that. But I've got to say, the first time
we're not taking calls.
Please no, please no. I didn't do it. But the first time I realized that I love the news or mm-hmm. kind of what was going on in the world, it just happened organically. I had friends in high school that were listening to, you know, Led Zeppelin or whatever was going on in 1974 or 1975. Right. And I was embarrassed to I wouldn't let on. They'd say, oh, did you hear so-and-so on the radio last night or on TV? I was listening to WINS all night long. And I would run it constantly. I wanted to know what was in the news. Right. And, you know, I do the 22-minute cycle 22 mm-hmm. times. And it just, you know, never knowing that I might kind of wander into the world to some extent.
Wow.
You know?
Now, let's talk about the world. We'll jump right in. The world of public relations. Now, we actually first met back in 2011 on that famous race, right? The Bob Turner race, right? New York 9.
Yeah.
Famous. And that was really a perfect storm, and it was, you know, just a real great story how a Republican ran in a district that it had not been won by a Republican since, I think, 1927.
Three, 23. Yeah.
And even the Republicans, the NRCC, I mean, they you know, were encouraging, you know, a Republican in the race, but didn't. I still remember talking with John McLaughlin a few minutes after it was announced that Bob had won. And I think I'm allowed to say this over. I said, you know, when do you think the NRCC realized that they may actually win the seat? And this is around 10 minutes after he won. He said, they probably still don't realize. John McLaughlin.
John being one of the great national pollsters.
Yeah. And we had him on the show. By the way, you could listen to his interview. He was a great interview.
Yep, polls for many presidents and world leaders.
He did
leaders,
a lot of work with world leaders and Trump. He's worked with.
Yeah, I think he did Netanyahu, I believe.
He did.
Yep.
He did.
Yep.
So I want to jump in and talk, you know, and you know, that's where I got to see your work firsthand on the Bob Turner race and realized what a, you know, to many people, they might think it's insignificant. Like, okay, I understand. I have to send my candidate out there. Yeah, we have to press the flesh. But the world of public relations, that's where I saw where your articles that were coming out regularly in the Post, in the news, online, and they were starting to drive a wedge between Turner and Weprin. And I was like, wow. And then seeing the endorsements come. Talk to me. Talk to the listeners. How does that describe that world and, of course, why it's so important in a political race? And then, of course, we'll get to a company.
Yeah, the great benefit of that race was that as a special election, it was a short one.
Right.
And there was nothing else going on in the country politically at that time.
Right. I think just one other race in Nevada, something like that.
I think that's right. It was Nevada. Right. You have a great memory. And that was really it for that right. for that cycle. And so you had political reporters around the country with beats that had to be filled. They have to, you know, every morning their editors say, what are you working on?
Right.
And they need to have a product by the end of the day. And there wasn't that much going on.
Right. And it was a year before presidential. It was like unbelievable.
That's right. It was in between everything.
Right.
And so very early on, and I was just, you know, one of a whole team that was able to help out on that. But we were able to create a national narrative out of a local race. And, you know, public relations has to be interesting. It's got to be a story that people get simply and can tell from mouth to mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And we made it a national narrative on a then very unpopular President Obama.
Right.
In the district. He was not being very nice to Israel, right. And it was the most heavily Jewish district in the country.
That's right.
The district is now gone. It was taken away soon after Bob won, sadly.
Census.
And so we tried to make it interesting, and with news releases and every bit of material we put out, we made it fun. We made a story to watch every day. We dropped things early in the morning so that what are they going to do today, and what are we going to push today. And when you do that and you put pressure on someone, especially incumbents that have been in office a long time, that have a lot to lose, they often make mistakes. And new businesses will find that when they're challenging deeply established businesses, mm-hmm. Those businesses are giant ships that are hard to turn around. And any decision has to be made by a team of 72 people and a committee. And a small team has the advantage of being nimble and quick, and that's what we were able to be. No one expected us to win.
Right. As I mentioned to you, someone a political veteran told me, said, "I'm going to be so gracious and say that he has a 25% chance of winning." Most people said he had a 1 in 100 chance of winning,
and of course, Bob Turner was the special sauce.
That's right.
There's something about Bob where he cut through, and people saw him. I remember, I know you were there as well, but I remember one debate, and his opponent, who became a good friend, David Weppern, who's a wonderful guy.
Right.
The debate question came up, and Assemblyman Weppern went to the podium and answered eloquently for 6.5 minutes.
Okay.
And then Bob Turner got up and said, "I'm sorry. Can you repeat the question?" And the question was asked again, and Bob said, "Yes." And then he got up and sat down. And the room was silent, pause, and then hilarity.
Right.
Just, this guy's different.
Right.
The answer was
That's
yes.
Correct.
And yeah. And it just, he had a way of cutting through
That's
in very
correct.
Few words.
My guess is none other than Bill O'Reilly, the Bill O'Reilly, or the other Bill O'Reilly, however you want to call it. He's a founding partner at the November team. We're going to take a short commercial break, but before we do, I want to remind the listeners, we're having a giveaway, and they were very gracious, Evernote. Last week's guest, Chris O'Neill, thank you. A Evernote premium 3-month free giveaway can be yours by sending a text to 64600, put in the letters MYB. Again, if you text over MYB to 64600, one lucky listener is going to win a 3-month Evernote premium subscription. All you have to do again is send a text MYB to 64600. Good luck. We'll be right back.
Hey, Joe, give me a minute. I'm going to run the numbers and circle back next week. Post it on Facebook, LinkedIn. Just get it up there.
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great, so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group. Marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
Is your business owed money? Are you frustrated with trying to recover past due funds and worried you may not get paid? At Ginny Debt Collection, we know dealing with debt collection can be a stressful endeavor. With more than 15 years serving clients nationwide, Ginny Debt Collection's comprehensive hands-on services help your business efficiently recover past due funds, improve cash flow, and develop strong customer relationships. Call us at 917-400-3253. Or visit GinniDebtCollection.com. That's G-I-N-I DebtCollection.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. I want to remind the listeners, our giveaway this evening is a 3-month Evernote premium subscription. All you have to do is send a text to 64600, put in the letters MYB. Again, text over MYB to 64600, and one lucky listener is going to win a 3-month Evernote premium subscription. Good luck. My guest this evening is none other than Bill O'Reilly, founding partner at the November team and a really longtime star in the world of public relations. Bill, you know, I'm not really sure even how to bring up this question because to someone like myself, this is fairly obvious. But people ask this question, and therefore I want to be able to ask it as well. You know, why does public relations still matter, and even in the world of politics? But if someone were to ask you that question, which, again, you might say, you know, anyone in the world of public relations understands that that question is, just doesn't make any sense. But to those that don't understand it, why does it still matter?
It's public relations has traditionally was the poor man's advertising. It used to be called free media, and you use your wits to get into pre-existing media, newspapers, television, radio, whatever you could. You know, PR people over time, being the spinsters that they are, changed the name to earn media so they could charge more. But it was really free media. It's what you can do without spending advertising dollars on digitally on television or radio. Or in newspapers. A great benefit of public relations is that there's, and it's been shown and studied for many, many years, mm-hmm. and decades, is that information that people access from news sources is, they know it to be parsed, and it strikes people as more true. Mm-hmm. And they know when they're watching an advertisement, and they know when they're reading a newspaper story. Now, with the crazy world of the online world now, where people start newspapers in their pajamas, and is doing one right now, that may be a little bit different. But in the real major media world, when you see something on ABC or on a network, or you read it in the New York Times or in the Wall Street Journal or the New York Post or Daily News, you trust it more. You know that the reporter has looked at it, has kicked the tires, and has given it to you pretty straight.
Right, because he's going to have to answer for that.
Yeah, so it's very valuable. And then also what you then do with it walks into your world a lot in the marketing side, which is how do you market the press that you've gotten.
Right, how to repackage it, leverage it. You know, I still remember talking with one client that got great press, and I said, in your newsletter, in your print newsletter that you send out to your investors and your house file, as we would call it, I said you should republish the actual article that appeared in a magazine. And they said to me sheepishly, or just not understanding the world, they're like, well, but it already ran. I'm like saying, wait a second. First of all, not every person that's getting the newsletter saw the media source that the original article appeared in. And separately, re-leverage that. It shows credibility, authenticity. Of course, re-leverage it.
Right. That's what it was. It was always like in the old days, you got a story, and at best you would fold it up into an envelope and a number 10 envelope
and send it to
drop
some
a stamp
people.
And send it to some people. Now it's just the beginning of the process.
Amplify. It's social media. Re-amplify it.
Right. I mean, when I'm reading a hard copy newspaper now, I keep thinking, where's the button to tweet this thing?
Right.
And it's just the beginning of the process now.
Now, what type of, in terms of a small business understanding, reaching out to the November team, and what size business makes sense to have a public relations firm on their speed dial?
Not too small, because it can be expensive. And the average PR firm in the New York market will charge anywhere from $5,000 a month to $10,000 to $25,000. The big ones will charge hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Wow.
But those are to Fortune 500 companies. Right. So you want to do as much as you can on your own. Mm-hmm. And it's really a way of thinking. It's PR is just it's looking at your business in a little bit of a different way. You know your business. Anyone who's starting one knows what they do. They're probably already good at whatever product or service they're providing. But they don't take time to think how this might be sellable to other people and how it's interesting. And every business is. Every business is interesting.
That's a great point you're saying. And I'm sorry to interrupt, because so many times, I know I speak with people, and I'm sure you as well, and they just don't realize how bright the future is, because they're in their box. They're by their desk all day, and they see what's in front of their nose. But like what you're touching on, something at such a great point for, and we know that small businesses comprise of the listenership of the show, and that's why when such valuable golden nuggets are shared by such great guests, I like to jump on it. You know, in your company, whatever you're doing, there is opportunity. When you deal with a public relations firm or even people out there that have world experience, they will be able to see way beyond what you can see in your four walls of your office.
That's right. I mean, every business or product or whatever it might be, or candidate for that matter, I'd like to think of them as a big jewel in my hand. I've seen
it's
that
beautiful.
In my head for
it's
years.
Beautiful.
And you look at the facets, because a lot of the facets have no interest to most other people.
Right.
But if you keep twisting that thing in the light, you're going to find the one that pops, no matter what it is. It's I remember I worked with a guy years ago when I was first starting out who had done some work for Lysol, and I was like, oh, that's got to be tough. And he said, no, did you know that Lysol kills the new, Bussamuckin germ? And I was like, what's that germ? And it was like, suddenly I'm into it. Like, what's the germ? What does it do? Do you know what that can do to your family if it gets out? But
oh my
Lysol
gosh.
Kills it. Or you could look around the room and, who made, the doorknobs? The doorknobs are interesting if you say, well, where did the doorknobs come from? Have they always came from France?
Right.
Is that a new thing? Is it, where's the metal made? Where's the thing? Or if you buy a new building, what did that building used to be? Who used to live there? Who lived there in the colonial times? Like, if you just dig at stuff, you're going to find something.
And not even that much.
Not even that much. Often it's, if you have a few employees, the employees themselves are interesting. They'll have a nice life story. I'll give you an example.
Sure.
I was doing some pro bono help for an old school in Brooklyn that was having some trouble a number of years ago.
Okay.
And I came in and I walked around the school looking for stories, which is typically what I do. I get a notebook and just, kick the tires. Where are you from? What's your favorite color?
Mm-hmm.
And, how long have you been doing it this way? And the person who was walking me around the school, we were parting and said, I said, well, can I call you on Monday? He said, no, I'm going to be gone. I said, oh, you're going on vacation? Where about? He goes, I'm going to Russia. And, and
he
I said,
why didn't you tell me that?
Right. I said, well, I thought, are you Russian? I thought you struck me as Italian. He said, no, I'm Italian. Do you have family in Russia? No, but I go to Russia every year. Well, why? Well, and he was kind of, I just got involved with things. Well, I'm like, well, what was that? So we pushed the point.
Right.
He had seen a story 4 or 5 years before about a Russian orphanage for deaf children.
Okay.
And the fire broke out, and the fire alarms went on, but they couldn't hear them,
mm.
and they all died.
Mm.
And this was a guy who had worked for Governor Mario Cuomo, and had saved his pension. He'd been a teacher for a while before that, and had saved his pension, lived in a place in Stuyvesant Town in the city, and didn't have any children or a wife. And so he started a little not-for-profit with his own money, and each year he would save enough money to wire a school with lights in Russia for the deaf. And I said, well, that's an incredible story. Can I tell that?
It's such a special story.
Can I tell that? And he said, no, that's just for me. And I loved him for it. But there's stories everywhere if you look for them. And what you have to do in public relations is marry the story to the audience that you're trying to reach and the conversation you're trying to have with them. The narrative is kind of the word du jour. What's the story? Who do you want to reach? What story do you want to tell them? And then, how do the things around you promote that story or work themselves into that story? And then how do you deliver it?
Folks, in case you're just tuning in, no worries. By Tuesday morning, the entire episode will be up at mybradio.com, mybradio.com. The YouTube video will probably take a little bit longer than that. Maybe that won't be up by Tuesday, but certainly the entire podcast, which is important because Bill O'Reilly, my guest this evening, is sharing real inside stuff that most companies spend 10, 20, 30K on. He's sharing it here for free, and that's very gracious of you, Bill.
I'm going to try and slim down before the YouTube video runs.
Yeah, that'll help. By the way, at the beginning of the show, we mentioned we're going to talk about the narrative, and every company needs to understand the concept, and it's on their mind. Could you talk about that? For starters, that word is a loosely dropped term. What is it, and how does a company craft a narrative?
It's really the perfect word, and it should have popped along sooner. But it was maybe 7 or 8 years ago. It really started to become the colloquialism for the communications world. It gets back to people telling stories. We're all social people. We sat around campfires. We passed along information from one generation to the next. Storytelling is in our DNA, and so are narratives. I mean, if you people watch the Olympics are going on now, and, I don't know how many years ago, everybody started to have a story in the Olympics. It wasn't It wasn't Nathaniel Soule who was running in the 50-meter dash. It was Nathaniel Soule who had this thing happen to him, and he grew up under this condition or whatever it was, and you told people about yourself, and it became someone that you followed.
Right.
So a narrative really is that, where it's color to interest people in your product, your business, what are the values behind the business?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're a bed company, the family started it, what was the, you know, tell the story about it. But it's crafted so you're telling people what you want them to know about you, your mm-hmm. business, your mm-hmm. candidacy, whatever it might be,
mm-hmm.
Using the material that you have. And when you have a good one, it's rock solid. When you have a good narrative and a true narrative, it's got to be true. You can't just make stuff up. When you have a true narrative, it's really compelling.
And it resonates.
It resonates.
People could see if it's...
They can see, and you won't get knocked off your game.
Right.
You know, you just don't.
So that a company, I want to just review this. In the world of politics, of course, a candidate has to have their narrative, their platform, if you will. A company, let's say a small company, you mentioned an example of a mattress company. What would be a narrative, let's say, for such a company, if I may? Or go give you an example you wish.
Yeah, it could be the family that built it. It could be the quality of the product. It could be the marketplace. It could be a family that had some particular benefit for it.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever it is, you're gonna find something of interest there. But I just popped into my head a example from years ago.
Sure.
Where you also want to find out who do you want to tell the story to, because it's really important. And a lot of people, they'll hire, you know, big PR firms and not know that. And you really need to know what who and what your market is and why. Years ago, I had a client that was trying to pitch a housing story. It's not for profit. And they were trying to pitch a housing story in the New York Times. And I thought it was good enough where the Times might take it. And I talked to a reporter there named Tracy Rosano, who was wonderful. I'm not sure if she's still there. And she said, "We'll do the story, but I don't know when." And it kept getting pushed month after month because it wasn't imperative.
Okay.
It wasn't right. breaking news, and it just kept getting moved. Don't worry, we'll get it. But a lot of time can go by between then and when it actually runs. And so I sat the client down and said, "Well, let's talk about who are you trying to reach with this story." And we pushed and we pushed and we pushed and we pushed, and it turned out that they wanted to reach a single person, and that single person was Donald Trump, the developer.
That's a fascinating story.
The pre-president, obviously.
Right. Right.
I happened to know, because I had a friend who had worked in his office, that he read Real Estate Weekly every Wednesday. And it would be flopped on his desk, and it was the first thing that he read every Wednesday morning. Real Estate Weekly isn't as hard to get into as the New York Times. And so we got the story in Real Estate Weekly, which anybody could do, given a little bit of homework on how to do the process. And sure enough, there it was in front of Donald Trump.
Wow.
And so often pushing yourself to ask, who am I trying to reach? Where do they live?
And
what do they read?
I mean, the person was expending so much energy trying to get into the Times when the roadmap was, you could have taken a quick detour, as you did, and you got right through.
That's right.
And
the New York Times had, 1.4 million readers at the time, and they were really trying to get to one or two.
Right.
And that's, you want to target where you can. And people have gotten so much better at that because of the digital world, where they think about targeting, far more.
My guest this evening, Bill O'Reilly, longtime star in the world of public relations and founding partner at the November team, along with Jessica Proud. Special shout out to her. We're going to take a short commercial break, but before we do, a reminder about our giveaway this week. The 3-month Evernote premium subscription can be yours by texting MYB to 64600. Again, text over MYB to 64600. One lucky listener is going to win the 3-month Evernote premium subscription. Good luck. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? Well, look no further than websitewithbrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500, or visit websitewithbrains.com.
Is your business owed money? Are you frustrated with trying to recover past due funds and worried you may not get paid? At Ginny Debt Collection, we know dealing with debt collection can be a stressful endeavor. That's why we're here to ease your collection headaches and maximize returns. With more than 15 years serving clients nationwide, Ginny Debt Collection's comprehensive hands-on services help your business efficiently recover past due funds, improve cash flow, and develop strong customer relationships. Call us at 917-400-3253. Gain peace of mind knowing experienced collection professionals are helping you get your money back into your account in the shortest amount of time. Call 917-400-3253 for a free consultation. Let our team of attentive collection specialists recover your money for you so you can focus on growing your business. To get back your hard-earned money, call 917-400-3253. 917-400-3253. Or visit GinnyDebtCollection.com. That's G-I-N-I DebtCollection.com.
And we're back. Mind your business with Yitzchak Zaftlis right here on 77 WABC and worldwide at MYBRadio.com. My guest this evening is none other than Bill O'Reilly, a longtime friend, and I'm actually a real admirer of him and his work. You know, Bill, I got to open up. You're in the world of public relations. Stories break any hour of the day, any hour of the night. Do you ever sleep? I'm sorry.
There was a time a number of years ago where we were doing a lot of bookings for clients.
Okay.
And a lot of them were foreign policy related, you know, down in Washington.
Oh, so one second. Foreign policy.
Oh,
so then
it was a nightmare. It was a nightmare. Right. Every time, I hate to say it, it's terrible, but a bomb would go off, and they go off all the time. There'd be you know, a statement that had to go out on it. So we didn't sleep then. We don't do as much of that. But you touch on a great point,
okay.
Yitzhak, is that if you're looking to do public relations for your company or for whatever mm-hmm. entity you're involved with, the best way to do it is to piggyback onto the news. And that's, you know, that's not new thinking, but that's important thinking, is if you can find a way to relate to the news cycle, that is incredibly beneficial. My favorite story, I'll do a couple, but my favorite story, which I was not involved with, I wish I had been, was when the Mir space station was crashing into the Earth.
Okay.
Taco Bell floated a raft, a target raft, out into the Pacific Ocean and said that if the Mir space station, if the Mir space station hit the target, they would give everyone on the planet a free taco. Ba-boom, ba-boom. Now, that's great PR.
Oh,
you know, it's
wow.
gimmicky, yes, but it's like, and that's, it just takes off. It just goes from there. But it's,
wow.
you look for what's happening locally or internationally, whatever it is, and yet you tie to it. You know, I was working with an insurance firm in Manhattan, a very, mm-hmm. very good old insurance firm. And I thought, insurance, you know, what are we going to do about this? And it was just as the Ivory Pirates had kidnapped that boat. They had pirated that ship, and there were Americans on board.
Yes,
right, it was
yes.
a big deal. Mm. And so we'd heard on the news, you know, about kidnapping insurance and that kind of thing.
Right.
So I ran to the insurance firm and said, "Do you do K&R or kidnapping insurance?" I didn't know what it was called. And they said, "K&R, sure." And I was like, "Whoa, hold on a second.
Got a story."
And so we put out a thing, you know, across the news sources across the country, saying we have an expert in K&R insurance and how it works and everything behind it. And that person sat at the desk for two solid days doing, not hundreds, but close to 100 interviews, I would say, to the
wow.
entire Fox Radio network. I mean, all over the country. It was just lighting up. Is nobody knew what it was. What is K&R insurance? Should I have it? What does it mean? If I have it, does it make me a target? And the guy was a great guest. So
wow.
you watch what's happening in the news.
Exposure was unreal.
Yeah, you watch what's going on in the news, and there's a lot going on in the news every day, and find a way to do something about that. You know, if you got that bed company and you find out that Vladimir Putin has a bad back, send him a mattress. You know what I mean?
Right.
Put it on the news. You know, do a news conference. Do what it takes.
Now, this probably segues into the next question is, and this is such a important question, especially in the world of social media. How do you develop a campaign or a concept that will go viral? I'm sorry. I hope I'm not putting you on the spot. I mean, it's...
No, it's...
Because it's such a toughie.
It's such a toughie, and you don't really know it until it happens. And you try. I mean, I've tried to make a lot of things go viral that have not. And then some things that I've done have gone viral.
And you would...
Not knowing that it might
you.
Be. I'll, yeah. I'll, actually, that same insurance company had done. We had just started with them. We were trying to get them some quick press to show that we were paying attention and diligent. And they had gone to a trade show someplace, and they put up a jar of jelly beans.
Okay.
And they asked, guess the number and you win whatever it was. And a woman came up and she guessed the exact number of jelly beans, which is really pretty tough to do.
Yeah,
I mean, 72,612 or something. And she hit it. And then she said a little extra bit came in, which was, this is the second time I've done that. She had won one in high school. So I was thinking, don't I? I put out a media advisory. I said, let's do a little news conference. Let's try it. You know, no one shows up, no loss. And the headline for the media advisory was "Jumping Jelly Bean, She Does It Again," and then we did about this woman who had hit the jelly beans. That thing took off all across America, South America, into Asia.
Wow!
I don't know what it was. It was of absolutely no benefit to the insurance company whatsoever, except maybe it got their name out a little bit. Wow. But it was fun as all get up. The thing took off. We were turning down Colombian stations, Argentina. I mean, just it took off. And some things do, and some things don't. You can gin thumbs up. Gin things up. I once had we did a news conference with Rick Lazio once, who was trying to get Theodore Roosevelt, President Roosevelt, the Congressional Medal of Honor, the Medal of Honor, posthumously.
Right.
And so we had a Rough Rider come on horseback on 23rd Street outside of Teddy Roosevelt's house, and the congressman, he was then a congressman, a pretty influential congressman, one of the senior guys in New York, was there to make this thing. It was about getting him the medal. We set up outside. Nobody showed up. I think Channel 55 from Long Island showed up. And it's like, really? Like, what's going on today that nobody showed up? But sometimes, you know, someone discovers a tomato that looks like Frank Sinatra, or an ice cream truck blows up, which happened during Perry Duryea's announcement speech for governor years ago, and all the cameras peeled off to the kids licking the pavement, you know? So you can't really control the news, and you don't really know what's going to go viral, but I bet you that ice cream truck did, I suspect.
Whatever was remaining of it. But by the way, there's a very important takeaway that you just shared, and that is that you have to try, you have to think creatively, you have to try, and you can't lose sleep if it doesn't work.
That's right.
If you don't try, then it's 100% guaranteed it for sure won't work.
That's right, and it's a cumulative process, meaning, especially when you get yourself a press list, and anybody can do that, going online or just picking up newspapers at the local box, or you know, you can find the information, and get an email address, and you know, you Google, how do I write a press release? How do I write a media advisory? That type of thing. That just because you put something out and it doesn't get coverage doesn't mean it wasn't noticed. And if you do it again and again, and it's reasonable stuff, you don't want to be, you know, crazy out there. But if you push the stuff, you begin to get a reputation among reporters that are keeping an eye on it. And eventually you will break through. If you're doing it, you know, reasonably intelligently, it's you have to be persistent, and you can't become despondent when you're standing out there with a microphone stand and no microphones. you just keep at it.
Right. Gotta keep at it.
And it's it really is cumulative. It makes a difference.
Before we get to this very intriguing National Review story that appeared this week, which I'm itching to get to, one more question on the world of media as we know it, social media. Now, we're not going to talk specifically about, you know, Twitter versus Instagram or Facebook, whatever, but just the world. In a nutshell, how has that changed the world of spreading your narrative, certainly over the last few years?
It's changed it entirely, and I don't think in a good way. Twitter especially is a really nasty medium. And I'm on Twitter, and I do things because you really have to be out there if you're moving things around.
Right.
It's great for moving links, you know, videos, stories, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, it brings out the worst of people, at least if you're following the political world.
Right.
It's you get a lot of cranks out there, and they just, you know, they try and think of the meanest things to say. But it moves things very, very quickly. It changes news cycles by the minute. That's the most important thing.
Right.
In the old days, you had, you know, old days being up until the late 90s, early 2000s, you had the deadline at the end of the day, and the news cycle was once a day. It was the evening news and the morning newspapers. Now you can change the narrative, which is actually of benefit if you're running for office or you're in trouble, you have a crisis thing. You can change the narrative by the minute. And in that way, it's helpful. But it's it cuts both ways. And we do a lot of it and put a lot of social media out. It's a great way to reach people. Facebook owns the whole world on the digital side, or much of it. It's very effective. It's very targeted. It's very powerful. It cuts both ways. So I like a little bit of the traditional still. There's something about an old billboard that still
that
talks to everybody, where you're not segmenting people. And I like to believe that there's a One America out there someplace where we can all look at the same thing and nod our heads and agree.
Now, by the way, there have been, I believe, and I don't remember the specific data where I saw it, but there have been studies that have shown that still at the end of the day, people will trust an article from a print, good old-fashioned print edition paper, than something they've seen online.
More than anything else.
Yeah.
That's
and
right.
There are studies
on
that. I mean, it would seem to be common sense, actually, because it's printed, it's on your table. You know, you realize that people have to put more thought into it. It has to be proofread as opposed to just, you know, sending something out on the phone. You could be more clumsy about it and therefore more irresponsible.
That's right. And many of those are legacy mediums where they've got a reputation. And yeah. And you're right. When it's in your hand, someone's whole being is there with you. You know, they're standing by it in a way that you don't feel reading on the internet.
You know, I'm just going to share an example from the nonprofit world. We here at Bottom Line create a lot of brochures, fundraising brochures. And many times the clients will say, after we create this like impressive brochure, and they say, could you also, you know, email me the PDF so that if a donor says to me, you know, I don't have time to meet, I can't really see the brochure, just send me an email with the brochure. And I tell them, whatever you do, do not email the brochure. Because they're going to look at it on their phone. Once they saw it, it goes in the memory. And then you lose the exotic effect when you show up with a printed piece. And the impression is nowhere near as impressive by showing them the physical printed piece.
That's right. And it'll sit there and it'll wait for them.
Right.
And where you're not, you know, something that's digital, you're not really looking for or thinking about. But, you know. I have a church bulletin in my car now that makes me feel guilty every day. You know, I have to go do a couple things.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah. That's right. By the way, before we go to a commercial break, what's going on? I read, there's something in the National Review that you're rolling out, a political party. I mean, Bill, what are you up to?
Okay. I have been honored and privileged to be asked to serve as the national chairman pro tem, and I'll explain why it's pro tem.
First of all, mazel tov.
Oh, thank you for a great group of Americans that are out there in all 50 states, a growing group that have created what's called the Federalist Party of America. You can find out more about it at thefederalistpartyofamerica.org.
Okay.
You can also text Fed Party to 53445. That's Fed Party to 53445 to stay up on what's going on. The Federalist Party is not yet a ballot party, and it's done that by design. It wants to be in this year where I'll be chairman. I'm going to be chairman for 1 year, one-year term limits for all officers.
Wow.
They're trying not to become fiefdoms. They're trying to learn from the other parties and where they went wrong. There's a $100 limit on donations to the party annually. They're trying to do things to guard against human nature, which really, you know, takes over in government and in all things.
Right.
And so the Federalist Party is not going to be a ballot party for a year because it wants to allow Democrats and Republicans and independents, for that matter, to be able to keep their current registration, memberships, and also be a member of the Federalist Party. You can become a member online, doesn't cost anything. You can check it out, get the material, see what's being said. And so you could be whatever you are. You can join the Federalist Party, keep your current registration, and just see what it feels like. What's the party about? It's very simple. Well, two things. Number one, term limits, federal term limits. The Federalist Party wants a 28th Amendment, bringing term limits to all members of Congress and Congress, Senate, and House.
Yep.
75% of Americans happen to agree with us, according to the latest Gallup poll, and Rasmussen has it at 74. People on all sides of the political aisle of various ideologies want that. The second thing the Federalist Party is looking for is to begin returning government to the local level where it should be. The Federalist Party of America.org believes in government solutions beginning at the lowest level of government, the level closest to the people. And what's happened over the years is exactly what the founders of the country tried to avoid. They tried so hard to avoid Washington taking over everything and becoming this kind of greedy, massive centralized bureaucracy. And it happened. What they didn't foresee was the career politician. They didn't foresee, you know, judges legislating from the bench. And so what happened was the career politicians in Washington wanted to give things away. And so they started creating these bureaucracies to give them away.
Right.
Most of that stuff should be done locally and at the state level. Now, it's not just about, it's not an against party. You know, the federal government has a function. We need a strong federal government. Absolutely. Right. Military strength, so many things, interstate highways, post office, lots of things. But what this is really about is strengthening communities again, is getting people to volunteer locally, to think about how to fix stuff as close to home as possible. If there's a, you know, if you're an environmentalist, go get the shopping cart out of the river. Go ask the town. Don't ask Washington to do that. And start to take back, you know, you have so few people that vote in local elections now, probably because they don't feel they have any reason to.
Right.
Everything is about Washington. If you want to, you know, in the high schools, if you want to teach a local curriculum, the U.S. Department of Education may beg to differ. They'll come in and say no. If you want to get a jungle gym, you check with HUD in Washington. You just want to put a swing in your park, you could be checking with HUD. I mean, all those things, we've become owned by this thing. And what has it left us? $20 trillion in debt. We're literally stealing from our children. And neither the Democratic Party, certainly not the Democratic Party, and not the Republican Party either, are really doing anything about it. The debt is still going up. We're still deficit spending, and the debt's getting greater. And when interest rates goes up, that's going to destroy our children's future. No doubt. Talk to any economists. They're going to pay the price for this. We are spending on our children's credit cards. And the things that Washington are doing should systematically, responsibly, in an orderly fashion, the things that should not be in Washington can start to come home over time. That's what the Federalist Party of America.org believes in.
So you're not just the founding partner at the November team. You now are the chairman of the Federalist Party of America.
And chairman pro tem, because no one has a permanent status. That's the thing, right? Because then it becomes about you.
So cool.
And that's the whole thing. You don't want it to be about individuals.
Congratulations. I mean, I have 1,000 questions to get to. We're going to take a very short commercial break and then back with Bill O'Reilly. I just want to remind the listeners that our giveaway this week is the 3-month Evernote premium subscription. All you have to do is text over MYB to 64600. Text over MYB to 64600. One lucky listener is going to win a 3-month Evernote premium subscription. Good luck. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Polling data, anyone? Hold on. We'll get right on that. Election day is Tuesday?
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great, so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group. Marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
Are you looking to receive a greater return on your commercial real estate investments? LP Servicing, a division of Eastern Union Funding, the leading commercial real estate funding firm, can help you strengthen your investments, broaden your network, and handle your headaches. For more information, visit lpservicing.com. LP Servicing provides services that enhance your ability to get the deal done. It's just that simple. Visit www.lpservicing.com. Again, that's lpservicing.com. LP Servicing. Turn your investments into something bigger.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC and around the world at MYBRadio.com. My guest this evening is none other than Bill O'Reilly, who from the beginning of the show, we were referring to him as the founding partner at the November team, but now also we found out that he is the chairman. Chairman again with that
pro-tem. So it's
pro-tem,
just kind of a temporary,
which is a fascinating idea because term limits is kind of wired into their platform. Americans know that term limits is just something that's healthy for the system. People become, I remember growing up and Ed Koch was running for his fourth term and And, you know, it's just at the end of the day, there is a tremendous advantage for fresh blood. And you want to
and that's what the National Review piece, if people want to read it,
yeah, how can they access
National
that?
Review online. It's under William F. B. O'Reilly. I write for Newsday under that as well because of Bill O'Reilly, the complication. Right. And the title of the rollout of the Federalist Party of America was With Fealty to Frailty. And the reason is that this is a party that closely observes, not from its own wisdom, but from the wisdom of the forefathers, human nature.
Right.
And human nature is self-interest. And men are not angels, as Madison said. We wouldn't need government if men were angels.
Right.
And so we need to create governments that protect us against ourselves, really.
Right.
And that's really what's happened with the lack of term limits is once these elected leaders began to be able to give things away, the principal purpose of being in office became getting reelected. And if that's what it is, you can't get rid of the things that need to be gotten rid of,
right,
because you're not going to endure the slings and arrows. And so that's why it's so important. But, you know, when you have $20 trillion in debt, you think that's compelling enough to do the right thing, but it's not there yet.
Right.
People still aren't doing it. So it's human nature that you've got to watch out for. And it was what, you know, all of the Madison, Hamilton, I mean, they all talked
that's
about
right.
this, was how do we protect against ourselves? Because when we're given power, we don't want to relinquish it. Unless with George Washington, who gave it up after 8 years.
But that's, you know, one in a billion.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
One in a billion.
Exactly.
Hmm. So term limits is really, I mean, it's so true.
And if you don't mind, I'm just going to do that one more time, if I could.
A thousand times.
It's federalistpartyofamerica.org, and you can text FEDPARTY to 53445.
And repeat that, please.
Yeah, FEDPARTY to 53445. And we'll keep you apprised of what's going on. We're going to ask you to become a local chapter chair.
Okay.
Anyone can do it. You could be in charge tomorrow. And it's all about learning about federalism, learning about the levels of government as they were intended, and having some fun with your friends in the process.
Now, there may be some people out there that think to themselves, okay, you know what? You know, maybe I should run for office one day. What advice would you say? I mean, listen, at the end of the day, the person sitting in the White House never held public office before, which is like fascinating, right? He wasn't a state senator, an assemblyman. I mean, Obama, you know, went quite quickly from a local politician, state level, and then, you know, right to the White House. I mean, a fairly short path. But Donald Trump, you know, wasn't a city councilman. He wasn't, you know, so if someone wants to run, you clearly see that there is, you know, there is a path.
Yeah.
What would your take be on
well,
that?
Well, it's funny because like him or not, and Trump is very controversial, he's a lightning rod, that was the way it was supposed to be. You were supposed to get accomplished people that would go and serve a couple of terms and then get out. And you asked about social media before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that wouldn't have, you know, it wouldn't have happened
right.
without Twitter.
Right.
It wouldn't have happened without Drudge. It wouldn't have happened without Breitbart and you know, other things and Cambridge Analytics that did a lot of the digital work.
Mm-hmm.
But it was someone completely from the outside. The thing that Donald Trump obviously had going for him was that he was very, very well known.
Right.
He is a marketing genius. No question.
And he worked on that aspect for nearly 50 years. That's an important point. People think, you know, he just basically showed up out of the blue. And he worked on his packaging, on his narrative, if you will.
Yeah, on his narrative.
For,
that's right.
For many decades. Then, of course, he came in the perfect storm and the, you know, the feelings regarding the Obama administration for so many years and then, you know, people wanting to a new direction. And he stepped right in
when you thought of him or the average person thought of him, they thought success. And that was
correct.
And that was the narrative.
He was kind of a
boisterous kind of, you
right,
know,
right.
cocky, successful guy.
Right. Real estate mogul.
And it worked. But what's interesting is because he's broken that mold, this really reopens the presidency or any office up to other people that are well-known. The Oprah right. Winfrey thing, she's not going to run.
Right.
But she could.
Right.
She could legitimately.
Fact,
she's well enough known. She's got
correct.
The money and the connections.
And the fact that America is fascinated by that story and is taking to it and so on, and even having the discussion shows that, like, it's a real possibility. Well, she will, she won't, whatever. But the fact that they're having so much discussion about it is that, like, that would not have happened a decade ago.
No, that's right. And those are, you know, right now it's the people that have pre-established platforms that are in a position where they can do that. You know, I wonder if at some point political parties will really be needed? Why go through the process? If you're, let's say, Oprah Winfrey, or you're, right. you know, name some incredibly famous person,
right.
Selena Gomez, or whoever it might be, some star of the day, you know, are you well enough known where you could run as Oprah Winfrey?
And to your point, Trump many times threatened when he had certain,
it
you know, with Ryan's previous, he would hold that over him. He says, I'm going to bolt from the party. Even to, you know, that took chutzpah, but
that's right.
But
yep.
he said those words
that's
because
right.
he knew that technically he, you know, okay, he obviously needed the party, but he was able to make that threat.
And probably now in the 16 election, he still needed the credibility of the Republican Party.
Right.
But that may not continue.
That's right.
You know, as
right.
if this happens again, and if for anybody running for looking to run for a local office, I would just suggest do things so that when you hire Yitzhak Soflis to do your mail and marketing, you have
and Bill for
bullet points to put down. You have things to put down and do things you care about. Don't be fake.
Bill, as we bring the interview to a close, I mean the time goes so fast.
It does,
man. As we bring the interview to a close. Any final thoughts you could share here on 77 WABC with the listeners of Mind Your Business?
Know who you are, you know, first and foremost, as a whether it's as a candidate or as a business person or as an athlete or teacher, know who you are. You can't fake that.
Be authentic.
Be authentic and then relate publicly. So. Public relations. Find a way to link to the greater community. And there are a zillion ways to do it today. And you are relevant, each of you is relevant in your own way to things that are happening in the day. We're all relatable. We're all one species. We all like to socialize. And so anything that you're doing, if you look hard enough, it's going to be interesting to a lot of other people. Decide which ones you really want to talk to, find a way to talk to them.
Bill, I can't thank you enough for joining me here. Really
what
special,
a pleasure.
As always. Folks, that wraps up another great edition of Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night to 77 WABC for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Saflis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.